You know, some music that fans should be spending their money on are the two albums that you got coming out March 29th. You know, Revenue Retrieving Overtime Shift and The Graveyard Shift. Should we consider those albums extensions of the first two Revenue Retrieving records?
Yeah, that's the key. That's the series. That's the continuation of the Revenue Retrieving series. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Of Day Shift and Night Shift. So what I'm doing is building up a series of albums. Well, you know, in the future you can always go get them, and right now you can get them, and it's like, you know, when they go snatch up these two albums, they're gonna see in the artwork, if they missed it, that I had two more albums out 11 months ago. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That which was Day Shift and Night Shift. They'll see that, so you can snatch up the whole catalog. So hopefully, when I do my in-stores and everything, I see people with four CDs in their hand. Or I see people with 17 CDs in their hand. Every album I ever did. How about that one? Every solo album I ever did. You know what I'm saying?
Why not?
Why not?
And, you know, can you pick a highlight song off each album and give us, you know, tell us what makes it special? One of your personal favorites off each album?
One of my personal favorites is an up-tempo slap that I'm just gassing on. I'm just like, it's a song called Fuck 'Em. It's not talking about a particular person. It's talking about just fake-ass motherfuckers. I'm talking about industry motherfuckers, just fake people, just overall. And real motherfuckers don't feel it, and those with a shoe fit ain't going to feel it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to be like, man, they talk about me. Nah, nigga, you talking about yourself. I mean, you must feel guilty. I never say it was you. You feel me? I'm just talking about motherfuckers that's phony. I don't like to be around phony motherfuckers. I'm too real. I used to practice looking hard back in the days when mean mugging was a style. Now I practice being solid.
The issue is a lot of time phony motherfuckers don't know they phony, so they won't get the song.
What'd you say?
I said a lot of times phony motherfuckers don't know that they phony, so they won't even get the song.
That's real talk. You know that, right? I'm telling you. It's over their head. So, like I say, man, with me, that's one of my ones that poke out. Then I got another one called I Love My Mama, Man. And people don't realize how important a mama is. You know, I mean, they do, but they take it for granted. They don't realize, man, a mama is going to be there, whether she's going to have your back, whether you're wrong or right. You know what I mean? The majority of the time. Not all the time, but the majority, because that's your mama. She made you. She birthed you. You know what I mean? And so I had a dedicated song called I Love My Mama, and then I got another one called Born in the Struggle that really pokes out to me. You know, something to make a gangster cry, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at, man. There's plenty songs on there that's ill, you know, because I hit it from all angles, man.
Tell us about some of the collaborations that you got on there. Who did you work with on this record?
You say what? Would you say collaborations?
Yeah, I say, you know, who did you work with on the record?
Oh, man, I got a track with Dev and the Dude. I never, you know, me and Dev, we did a song back in the day that never got out there. We never put it out, but I did a song with him years ago. I don't know, I might have went on a comp or something, I'm not sure. But it was about time for us to, link up. We got a song called Looking Back, and it's just talking about looking back when I first met him in the Rap-A-Lot office out there in Houston. And ever since then, we clicked, you know what I mean? He loved to smoke weed, we loved to drink, me and the clique, you know what I'm saying? And we were just cool ever since, out of all them years, early 90s, 91, 92, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I feel like Devin's one of my favorites too. So you know, I'm anxious to hear that collaboration.
Man, you're gonna like this song. It was produced by Jake One.
Okay, yeah, he's dope.
And you know what I mean? And it's gonna give you that old school feel, you know. And but we gas it on there, and we just tell him how it used to go back in the days, man. That's all. Not knocking nobody. No, we didn't say nothing. Nothing to make a person say, oh, man, if you claim, nothing like that. One thing about me, I don't knock the new generation either, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? I let them do their thing. I fuck with the youngsters. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of youngsters out there that's eager to learn. You know, they really want to, they ask me questions, and I give them food for the brain. I lace their boots. I, You know what I mean? I give them my opinion and some of my experience in this, and I kind of relay it to them and let them know, hey, man, I don't know. You might want to do this like this. That's my opinion. Woo-woo. But for the most part, man, it's something that the song is talking about. You know, kind of what we talked about, too, when I said something, when we were talking about how when you compare analog days to digital days, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're talking about that kind of stuff, you know, just how we used to do it back in the day.
Okay.
I got a track with Bun B and some thug called Candy Paint. It's one of them slaps. It's, you know, summertime, something for the summertime. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got a track. Of course, you know, I got all my Sick With It artists on there. I got another interesting track called I'm Serious that T-Pain produced for me, and he did the hook. But when you hear this track, you're going to think that it's, when you see the title, you're going to be like, okay, they trying to make a radio song. When you hear the song, you'll be like, this is far from a radio song. This is just a slap. This is some hard hit. It's called Serious.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit, I can't wait to hear it.
It's going to be like a, you know, like it's funk. It's like also West Coast funk type of slap. Like you wouldn't even expect it. Like, the fuck is 40 doing? It's 2011. That you're going to have a motherfucker that's going to be like, man, that nigga really saying something on there, and I will need it to, and I needed to hear this kind of sound again. I'm telling you.
That's what's up.
And then I got to, we keep going on and on forever, but go ahead.
I was saying, you know, your son Drew P is very involved in your career. You actually, you know, signed to his label, and he is the co-executive producer of your album. How early on did you start integrating your son into your life, into the music life?
Man, he was always my little buddy, man. In the 80s, you know, back in the days, me and him, you know, I dressed him in the same kind of outfit I had. That's how niggas used to do it back then. You know, the son and the daddy, they dressed, you know, had the same kind of outfit on. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he was my little buddy. I put him in my drop top Cutlass, and we'd slide out. You know what I mean? So he used to always ask me questions and stuff when I used to take him to school. You know what I mean? So we did a skit on Federal album in 1992. He was 3 years old, and we called it Questions. And he used to just ask me a lot of questions. You know what I mean? And I feel whenever a youngster asks an older person questions, that means they're willing to learn about life in general. You know what I mean? And that's what I told him to always ask me questions, never stop. So he always been laced. I breeded him just by being a daddy. You know what I mean? When he turned six, I had him come down to the studio in Richmond, a K-Lou studio. And well, he was five at the time, but the album came out when he was six. And he rapped on the album. He rapped on one of my songs called It's All Bad, which he spit eight bars on that thing and gassed it. And then that album went platinum. Right? And then 2 years later, year and a half later, now he's eight, but the album came out when he was nine, and he was, this is a Hall of Game album. He gassed another track called Growing Up, where he was rapping fast and everything. Like, he adjusted to the beat, and he gassed that thing. That album sold 770,000 records. That album went gold. You see what I'm saying? And this dude been in the game for a long time. So then, when he was 20, his mama put him in, my wife put him in a piano when he was 9 years old, right?
Wow.
Nine and a half, 9 years old, and you know, and he learned how to play the keys and, you know, adjust, you know, and fuck around. So he'd come down, you know, I got a studio at the crib, so, you know what I mean, he'd come see Rick Rock and Bosco and, you know, my producer that I've been working with for years, he'd watch them and analyze them, and then my engineer D Wiz, you know, he'll watch him as he engineer it. And D Wiz gave me my old school Studio 5, kind of like Pro Tool thing, and he started working and making beats on that. So he made a couple of beats. I'm like, boy, you got it. You got what it take, right? So when he turned 15, I went and bought him a full-fledged studio, and from then on, it's been all gas, no brakes. So when he He also produced a track on my Ghetto Report card, the one with Tell Me When to Go. And You and That Booty, he had a song on there called Sick With It. He produced on that. So this boy, yeah, so he got gold records and platinum records on his wall. And you know, he had that when he was 16, 17 years old. You know what I mean? So now he got his own lane. What I like about Droopy is he got his own sound. You know, people that have heard his music, like that I'm Loaded video and the song with the Sade sample, when they heard that, it opened them up to him. Like, they've been knowing he'd been rapping. He had an album out. He was Bay Area famous already with an album out, him and B Slim, called The Fetty Fetcher and the Money Stretcher. Droopy and B Slim, The Fetty Fetcher and the Money Stretcher. This was in 06, 07. This boy was in high school and famous. You know what I mean? Like, motherfuckers riding around with his music, like, really blacking it. Sold a substantial amount of records, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going on and on forever, but not
Droopy. You pretty much answered my next question, too. I was about to ask you whether you were happy that he chose music as a career, or whether you would like, you know, have like for him to pursue a different route, but you pretty much answered that already.
I let him go through all the things that he, you know, rolled the dice on. He used to play basketball in the backyard like he was and one. He played basketball and shit like that. You know what I mean? And I want let him try all that baseball. He played all the sports. He didn't play football, but he played all the other sports. And I just let him just analyze the game. But the music has always been his passion, so it naturally happened. It wasn't forced. You know what I'm saying? He was born in this. So I am. To answer your question, I'm very grateful. And I'm glad he had a producer, because a producer can chill out and just make money. Producer, I know a lot of producers that's way richer than the rap artists.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, for real, because rap producers, you know, they can produce forever, man. As long as you stay on your toes, you can stay updated with all the sounds and all that shit. You got the talent, you stay creative, you don't get lazy. You can produce forever. You can be 50, 60 years old still producing them, as long as you're coming with slaps.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and he got both ways. He can produce and rap. He's a hell of a good rapper, and he can produce. So if he produce, so put it this way, a lot of times out of 100% publishing, as far as on the performance size, on the writer splits, the producer's supposed to get 50% off top. You know what I mean? It depends on what the artist, what y'all work out, you and the producer and the artist, because sometimes it could be four or five people on the song, so the producer, and it might be a sample in the song, so the producer might have to, because the sample people might want 30%, so the producer might have to bite the bullet on that and get a little bit of publishing and split, and then do the other, the artist is going to split the other 50% or whatever the situation is. Right. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, but a producer, they get paid for the points, the royalties, they get paid on a lot of times on publishing, you know, especially when you, unless you're doing it to get, put it this way, when you're a producer and a rapper and you produce your own tracks and you rapped on it, you get more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
When it comes to bread. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
Does your son also help you stay connected to the youngsters and, you know, having a good feeling for what's currently, you know, needed?
Without a doubt. Shit. I take his judgment, I respect his judgment, and it's vice versa. He respects mine. And we both got something to offer. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm an OG and he's a young G.
And, you know, you also going to finally be releasing your long-awaited collaboration album with Too Short, The History Channel. Explain to us why this time we should actually believe that it's coming out.
Because we already been in the lab, and now the real reason, the main reason why you must believe that it's coming out is because we are not under any contractual major label situations. We are independent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. When I talked to Short, he said that Jive didn't want y'all to make an album together.
Right. And we never understood. We got love for Jai, but we questioned him about that. Like, why wouldn't you want to do that?
Right.
You know, it was certain things they just wouldn't let us do. We couldn't figure out why they wouldn't want us to put out an album together when, you know, shit, we both got names. We could have sold some records. So now it's time. So God working mysterious ways, man. Now it's time. We already been in the lab. We got slaps. Every time we come with a song, it just so happened to be one of them bangers. You know what I'm saying? So we might as well try to keep going and don't try to fix nothing that ain't broke.
What kind of sound can we expect from the History Channel? Is it gonna be like a throwback or?
Man, you know what? Expect some vintage shit and expect some new shit, some shit that's and expect some when I say new shit night like not expect some new shit like where it's a happy medium between old school and new school. With a new school twist, you know what I'm saying?
Just
like, where it's just good with bass lines, expect some bass lines, and you know, just good sound of music that's, you know, that's tantalizing to the ear. That's gonna make motherfuckers like, nigga, I'm fucking with this. I can't wait to bump this in my motherfucking Cutlass.
Do you have any estimated time of release when we can expect the album to come out?
Trying to do it this summer. Trying to have it like late summer.
Okay. What about a new Click album? Is that a possibility?
Big possibility. We're going to the studio next week. We've been going in once a week, knocking out 2-3 songs a day, trying to put it in motion. The first couple of sessions we had was very successful. So we know we still got it. We got the right producers, the youngsters. They fucking with us tough. You know what I mean? Some of the youngsters that got that old soul. You see what I'm saying? You know, of course, Droopy is on the case. You smell me?
Yeah.
So...
Is there anybody left in hip hop that you wish you would have the chance to collaborate with?
There's plenty of them, but I just can't say it off the top. As far as hip hop, let's see. I want to do a song with Raekwon and Ghostface.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
I do. I want to do one with them. I'm serious, and I don't care if the East Coast love me or not. I just like them, and I love a lot of rappers from the East Coast. Especially the older, the people from the ones from my era. I got love for Jay-Z. I wish I could do a song with Jay-Z. I think Jay-Z is still wrapping circles around shit, around these youngsters. He on the case. He's an OG. You know, I'm only a couple years older than him, and I respect what he's doing. And you know, that's just he's built different than a lot of these. He's built different. He's from the '80s. And that's where I'm from. We got that '80s in us, and I don't really have to tell you how heavy it was in the '80s. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We got that in us. We real '80s hustlers. You smell me? So I'm telling you, when you got that in you, you're a monster. You know too much. You see what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, shit, you and the East Coast mesh well together. I mean, let's not forget about what you and Quali did.
I gotta get with Scarface. We've been knowing each other since '92 and never did a song like that. You know what I'm saying?
That was my song.
That's it right there?
Yeah.
Send that to me, man.
I'ma email that to you.
Send that shit to me. Who else I want to do a song with? Let me think.
What email address should I send it to?
I want to do a song with Dr. Dre one day.
Yeah, that was my next question, but
I got respect for Dre. I want to do one day it's gonna happen. I guess Dre the type of person you just got to be around him. I'll be wiggling. I'm out here. I don't live in L.A.
But you were at the video set of Kush, right?
Yeah. We was powwowing. I just got to get out there and get you know. You know, that boy got a lot on his plate. You know what I mean? I don't think it's nothing personal. I used to think it was something personal, but it's not. I got that understood. You know what I mean?
It's long overdue, though. It's long overdue.
Yeah, it's definitely long overdue. That'll be a beautiful thing, man. I think that the West Coast would like to see that. You know, because I am a West Coast legend. I'm a hip hop legend. And I brought a lot to hip hop, you know, period. Just overall, I don't want to have to go into details. One day when they, you know, read my book, when I come out with that, and I ain't just talking about a dictionary, I'm talking about a real book, you know what I say, about my life and what I've done, to what I contributed to hip hop. When I come with my documentary and all that, dang, they're ready to put Charlie Hustle, the blueprint of a self-made millionaire, back out there and probably throw that thing on one of these. Maybe I can let y'all debut it or something, put it back out there just so people can do their due diligence and read up on what I've done.
Let's do it.
I put that out 12 years ago. I put that book out, I mean that DVD out 12 years ago, and that was a gold-selling DVD.
Shit. Let's put that out
before the album come out, huh?
Yeah. Let's do it.
That's what I think I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do.
And speaking of books, what happened to your book of slang that you announced a couple of years back?
I'm doing a dictionary app, man. I'm going to do that first and then go to it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I was supposed to been doing it, but, you know, like I say, that's I stay in the studio making music. But, you know, I love mailbox money, so I'm on the case.
Okay. And you know, besides your children and your family, what's your most prized possession in the world?
Oh, my wife. She's my family.
I said besides your children and your family.
And yeah, besides my moms and all that. And, yeah. Shoot, man, to be honest with you, my most prized possession. God. That's it. So I don't idolize.
I thought you would have said your music.
Oh well, yeah. I thought I was talking about a certain individual. My bad.
Yeah, no, I guess both. And yeah, I mean, music is kind of hard to describe what it is, but
right. No, music is my. I love music, man. Like I tell people all the time, if I had $1 billion, it doesn't matter. I'm still in my right mind and I got my life, health, and strength, I'm going to continue to do music. Now, what I mean by that is, even if I don't sell it to the public, even if it's just for me, I'm going to do it.
As you should.
Because it's therapeutic and healing, man. I love music.
Shit, I think that's a perfect note, you know, to end the interview. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. And, you know, we'll be keeping in touch, you know, before the album come out to put out some more stuff.
All right, bro. Mike, nice talking to you.
I
will be at you soon.
It.